Test. Testing. Testing. Test. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service right here at Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And I want to say it's an honor and privilege to be here one more time, to be able to minister through the Word. And so we just appreciate you tuning in and being with us this evening. And I hope everybody's had a great week so far this week. And we have certainly had a week for sure, a busy week, been steady, and so we like to keep it that way. But nonetheless, we are so very thankful that you are tuning in, and I want to encourage you to invite friends and family. I know we've had many friends and family already of our church members, you that have been watching, that you've invited, and we appreciate that, and we're just very thankful that we have someone to preach to and share our hearts with. And so we love you. We appreciate you for tuning in tonight. This evening, as we get into our prayer request, I'd like for us to, number one, let's remember America tonight. Let's remember our land tonight, our world globally, but let's remember America and the things that have been transpiring here in recent days as we get closer to the inauguration of Joe Biden. And a lot of things are in place, security measures for that day. But let's just remember in prayer that God would protect our land and protect our rights, and as individuals, protect us in these troublesome days that we're experiencing. And so tonight we're going to remember America, and then we're just going to remember everyone globally this evening. Also, I'd like for us to remember Brother Charlie Wilson in our prayers this evening. He's been having a rough time physically, and so let's remember Brother Charlie. Again, I said Sunday night, Brother Arnold McCrickard, he is home from the hospital from having his kidney removed. And so we're praising the Lord for that. We do pray for Brother Arnold in days ahead, but also we pray for Miss Emily. And so we're praying for you as well, Miss Emily. Let's remember Greg Smith. Let's remember Sandra Smith. And then let's remember Greg's dad, Lloyd, as he's having congestive heart failure. Let's remember him in our prayers. Continue to remember Miss Melissa Slagle. And in her life, let's remember, continue to remember Miss Mary Rich as she recovers from her COVID. And again, we still haven't heard anything different than her being negative on that COVID. So we praise the Lord for that. Let's remember our children's home tonight. And Lord willing, they'll be back with us this coming up Sunday. So let's pray for them. And looking forward to seeing them. Let's also remember Brother Don, Sister Carla, Brother Allen, Sister Terry, Brother Allen, his Bell's palsy. And let's just remember their household tonight, where some sickness has been. Let's remember Miss Lauren, Rhett Hancock, and her mother, Miss Patty, in our prayers. Ceylon and Catherine Plemons, her mother, Marge, we're praying for tonight. James and Shirley Townsend, let's remember them and an upcoming PET scan for Miss Shirley. But let's also just remember Brother James and his breathing, that the Lord will be merciful to him there. Jim and Don Daly, the same with Brother Jim. Let's remember him and his breathing, and Sister Don and Jim Jr. and their families tonight. The Teagues, Larry, Connie, Christy, and Miss Connie's brother Bill. Continue to remember him in prayer. Claudia Darby, Don Capistrano. Of course, we're praising the Lord for Miss Cheryl Millwood's sister and her surgery recovery. Barbara Anderson at Powder Springs Rehab. Let's pray for Rusty and Chris Watkins and their health, their family. And so we're praying for you guys. Hope to see you soon, Rusty and Chris. Harold Dolph, let's continue to remember him in our prayers. Joe and Lynn Vandiver. Brother Joe's sister-in-law, Charlotte, her cancer, received word today that Miss Lynn's friend that that was battling COVID had passed away. And so let's remember these families tonight. Miss Jenny Clanton, her husband Jimmy, who has shingles. Randy Ely, his mother, Diane, her brother, Ed, Marianne, Sandy, let's remember them. And our prayers, Jeff and Sharon Hodges, their son-in-law, Chris. Miss Cassie Karanovich, spoke with her recently, and she has her full-time job being a type of caregiver. And so she's able to use her experience for others that she had with her mother. Gerald and Francis Carroll, and let's continue to remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Eddie and Joanne Rich, Ashley, Aiden, Bentley, Eli, all of our shut-ins, James Tolan Brown, our Marine, and a friend of ours, Miss Kim Merritt over at Pleasant Hill, that's battling cancer. And again, church, let's remember our nation and that the Lord will be in charge. We know He is, but that He will work everything together for the good. Tonight, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we will dive in to the Scriptures. Father, we come in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. And Lord, tonight we pray for America, oh God, for the things that have been transpiring right before our very eyes, Lord. God, we pray for security of our land. We pray for safety, Lord. We pray that those who do not fear You would fear You, that they would bow a knee on this side of heaven and confess You as Lord and Savior. Lord, we in one hand are grabbing onto and clinging to the fact that You're coming back for us, the church. But in the other hand, Lord, we're clinging and holding on to the healing of our world and our land, God, that You would touch our land, that You would save souls. And Lord, that there might be one last revival, great revival before You come for Your church, Lord, so that many, many souls are saved, Lord. That's our prayer. Tonight, Lord, we're thankful for those whom You've touched. We're thankful, Lord, for those who You've brought home from the hospital at Calvary. But God, we do pray for those who have been experiencing the virus, the COVID virus. God, that You would touch them and heal them. And Lord, for everyone who, including myself, God, has been home since March, Lord, I pray that You would just touch everybody's mind mentally. It's easy to fall into a state of depression or things that follow depression, but God, You strengthen us. Lord, You're always with us, and help us understand that, and help us, Lord, through this world we call the wilderness until You come. We're thankful, Lord, tonight for Calvary Baptist Church. We're thankful, Lord, tonight for the cross of Calvary, Lord. Father, I pray that You'd use us tonight for Your honor and for Your glory. Let us be a light to some soul. Let us deliver encouraging words to Your children tonight. And then, Lord, if we're able to do that, we can say, Lord, that we were a help. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to start in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 55, if you would, for a few moments. Isaiah chapter number 55 is where we're going to be for the next few moments. And want to just bring a topical message tonight, a topical lesson, and You know, when it comes to preaching and teaching, it's been said that there are three types of messages to deliver. Number one, there's a topical style message where you choose a topic and you elaborate on it. But then there's the textual style message. Textual. And that is when you expound and elaborate on one verse. But then there's the expositional style messages, and that's when you use a chapter or you go through a book or summarize a book. And so pretty much there's three types, the topical, the textual, and the expositional. Tonight we're going with the topical style message lesson. Isaiah chapter number 55, and I want to read two verses this evening, and two, maybe three, no more than four out of Isaiah 55. Very familiar scriptures to those who have heard much teaching and preaching and to those who study their Bible. But in Isaiah chapter number 55, I want you to notice in verse number 8, Isaiah 55, in verse number 8, the writer says, "For my thoughts," speaking of the Lord, "are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We'll read verse 10 and 11. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Many times in life we come to the place where we don't understand exactly what may be going on in our life. In fact, there's times where we try spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication is simply this. It's where you say to yourself, "I did this, Lord, and now this has happened." Or, "I didn't expect this to happen living for Jesus." It's spiritual multiplication. It's where we know that multiplication is, you know, you as in math, you multiply. Well, the same goes in a spiritual sense. We take this situation and we take this out, this other situation, and then we have an unfavorable outcome. And it's spiritual multiplication. There are times in life where we don't understand what's going on in our life or our world. And so we try to figure it out, don't we? We try to make sense out of what's going on. Now, tonight, let me just say, it may sound like I'm shooting from the hip. It may sound like I am reiterating a familiar message or topic, but it does us good to familiarize ourselves with the truths of familiar verses over and over and over again. But we have those experiences in life where we don't understand. We have those times where we try spiritual multiplication and we try to make sense out of what's going on. Well, tonight I want to look into this situation we often find ourselves in or contemplating. Lord, what's going on? Lord, I'm trying to make sense out of this circumstance. I want to look into that type of situation. And tonight, for a few moments, I want to share some things with you along these lines. God's ways are not like our ways. God's ways are not like our ways. Now, this past Sunday morning, we preached out of Psalms, and we talked about that phrase where it says, for His ways are in the sea. And we elaborated on how that God is the God of the sea, meaning He is a powerful God. Like in the days of Moses, where the children of Israel followed Moses, and they were at the Red Sea, they had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to turn. Their back was against the wall, and yet God rolled He divided the sea and rolled them back upon a heap, and they crossed over on dry ground. He's the God of the sea. His way is in the sea. But tonight I want to get in a little more about the ways of God, because I believe that it holds the truth that we need to know that would help us from day to day. And so God's ways are not like our ways. I want to give you tonight three reasons why His ways are not like our ways. Three reasons why His ways are not like our ways. Number one reason why His ways are not like our ways is because His ways are highways. His ways are highways. Now, this particular point has to do with perception. It has to do with how that we view the activity in our lives. It's how we view what's going on. And I want to say tonight that the God's ways is not like our ways, because His ways are higher ways. They're highways. Now, in verse number 8 and verse number 9 of Isaiah 55, I want you to notice that these two verses has to do with understanding or perception. In verse number 8, once again, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." I want you to notice in verse number 9, He gives almost a parallel. He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." Now, we know that the sky and then the outer space area, that's a real long way. And above that, the heavens, where the abode of God is, which the Bible calls the third heaven. The first heaven being the sky, being the birds of the air. The second heaven being the outer space. But then the third heaven being the abode of God. And He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." So the distance between even the first heaven, where the birds and the fowls and the sky is and the outer space, but then the third, all those heavens are high in the sky compared to being down on the earth. And the scriptures say that that's how God's ways are. They are much higher than our ways. And verse number 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth." Think about that distance. How high that is. Some people go skydiving. That'll never be me. That'll never be me. Some people go skydiving and they go way up in the sky and they just drop out of that plane and they hit that parachute and they glide down to earth. Think about how high that is. And now we're looking at it at a spiritual standpoint. And the Bible tells us that's how different God's ways are and His thoughts are compared to ours. So tonight, verse number 8 and 9, it has to do with understanding or perception. Have you ever not understood something in your life? Well, probably because His ways are higher than your ways. Have you gone through something that just didn't make sense? Well, His ways are higher than our ways. I've gone through things where I felt like the outcome should have been better than it was. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. They're different than my thoughts. And so we see that in verse number 8 and 9, it has to do with perception or understanding. And even in Jeremiah chapter number 29, in verse number 11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's, in essence, that's what that verse is, how that verse goes. But the key to that verse is where the Scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you." You see, there's some times in life where we don't know what God is doing down here, but He knows. And you know, there's times where I feel like I may not know what's going on, and I really would like to know the end result sometimes. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But more than me ever knowing what's going on down here, He knows what's going on up there. "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord." And so tonight it's all about perception. It's all about understanding. And His ways are highways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I want you to notice something else. In verse number 10 and 11, this verse not only has to do with, verse number 8 and 9 has to do with understanding, but verse number 10 and 11 has to do with accomplishment. Look in verse number 10. Another parallel. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Verse number 10 and 11 has to do with accomplishment. It's something that the Lord is wanting to accomplish in our life. He is always pursuing us. You see, Jesus pursued everybody before man ever pursued God. And if you're saved tonight, it's simply because God pursued you and you got saved. And now we're pursuing Him. But you see, it's God that pursued us first. And so now God, He has a thought pattern for us. The Lord has an idea. He has a plan for your life and mine, and we don't always understand it because we're down here and He's up there. But He tells us the same way that the rain goes down, the same way that the snow comes down, and it does not return back up, but it stays and it brings forth. The Bible says it brings forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then in verse number 11, He compares that to His word. His word. Tonight, we have in our hearts the incorruptible word of God. It's not going to return void. The Lord is going to achieve in our life. We may not understand everything that we're going through. We may not understand everything in this walk of life. But there's one thing about it. His word will not return void. And so the Lord tonight, He's at work in our lives. Now I want to give you an example of this. I'm going a step further. In the book of John, chapter number 11. John, chapter number 11. And you know the account here. This is when Lazarus was sick. This is when Lazarus died. But it was also when Lazarus rose again. And in John chapter number 11, notice verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now notice, if you would, verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Drop down to verse number 14. Then said Lazarus unto them, his disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. How about that? He says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. He says, because or to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse number 21, the Bible says, Then said Mary unto Jesus, listen to this, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And so what I want you to see tonight in these verses is we have a situation that is lacking understanding. We have Martha here, and she is living her life with the if factor. She said, Lord, if thou hadn't been here, my brother had not died. She's saying, Lord, you don't understand. Lord, you don't understand this dilemma. He was sick and we called for you. And then, Lord, he actually died. And the Bible tells us that even after Jesus got word about Lazarus being sick, that he tarried still where he was at for 2 days, verse number 6. Isn't that like maybe sometimes death, but isn't that like a lot of the situations in life when we try to understand what the Lord is doing in our life? We are on one side of the spectrum. We are down here on earth, and he is operating his ways from heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a plan for our life. And many times it's we're operating out of that if factor. Well, Lord, if this would have happened, then I would have done that. Or Lord, if that would have happened, then this would have had a better and a more favorable outcome for me and my family. Well, I want you to see tonight that Martha and Mary, they were troubled, and they said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I want you to notice, and we know the account that Lazarus came forth from the grave, verse number 43. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, we said that we wanted to show you two things out of this chapter. And our first point has to do with one of the reasons why his ways are not our ways, because his ways are highways. And we've seen back in Isaiah that there were two things that had to do with those four verses, understanding and accomplishment. My word shall not return void. Here we have a situation in the New Testament that's totally that way. And notice, if you would, in verse number 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's the part that we don't understand. That's the hard language of Scripture. That's those situations that go wrong in life. That's those dilemmas we don't want to be in. But you see, if we belong to Jesus, there's a perception there, but also there is an accomplishment on the other side. The Lord is always wanting to accomplish something. And sometimes it takes death, sometimes it takes pain, sometimes it takes heartache, but whatever, at any rate that the storm, the problem, the situation in our life may be, God is always working to accomplish something. And on the other side of this verse, he says, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye might," or "ye may believe." That ye may believe. So number one, the reason for this delay in Lazarus's death had to do with it being for their good. This will help your belief system. This is stretching your faith to believe on me. And so in life, as we live for Jesus and we go through these death times of dilemma and heartache and pain, the Lord is stretching our faith so that we may cast our faith on Him and totally believe on Him. But it doesn't come without pain. He says, "to the intent that ye might believe." Now, we see that the reason why Lazarus died and was allowed to die was so that Jesus could raise them up again, so that there might be resurrection power seen evidently in his life. Jesus is all about raising dead things to life tonight. Jesus is all about resurrecting us from a dead, a doubtful situation. He's all about tonight resurrecting power. Jesus is all about tonight stretching our faith and sending us through the fire so that He might refine our faith and allow resurrecting power to be evident in our life. And so that's what we see tonight. We see that there was resurrecting power, and it was for, the Bible says, "to the intent that ye may believe." So it was for their good, but number two, the situation with Lazarus was for God's glory. Look back in verse number four. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And so we see in this story that that the Lord's delay in His raising up of Lazarus was for their good and for His glory. You already know where I'm going with that. As a child of God, everything that comes into our life is for our good and for His glory. Everything, those deadly death situations, setback and doubt, the good times, the bad times, the good, the bad and the ugly, is all for our good and His glory. And so tonight we see that His ways are highways. And again, this has to do with perception, how we perceive what's taking place in our life. Back in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 deals with perception or understanding. Verse number 9 and 10 deals with accomplishment. Has to do with what God wants to accomplish in our life. And of course, we use this illustration here of Lazarus. I want to go a step further tonight. Not only God's ways are not like our ways, because His ways are highways, but number two tonight, God's ways are not like our ways because His ways involve pathways. His ways involve pathways. The book of Psalms, chapter number 119. Psalm 119, and I want to read one verse, verse number 105. Psalm 119, 105. And I want you to know that this has to do with the way God guides. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His ways are not like our ways, because His ways involve pathways. They involve paths. And this has to do with the way that God guides. Notice, if you would, He says, my feet, my path. God tonight has a path for all of us. And He guides our feet. And here it is, one step at a time. Let me give you an example. If we go on a path in the woods, and there's a pathway going through the woods, if there's some kind of trail that we're on, if we go on to, you've probably been on them, and I have as well, we can't see what's around every twist and every turn, can we? We can't see, in fact, we can't see the entire path. We can't see the whole path from start to finish. We can't see the twist and turn, what's behind every twist and turn. In fact, if we would know what was behind every twist and turn, if we were allowed to see what's out there down the road, we might crumble with fear. In fact, if God would have showed us this pandemic a year or two ago, we probably would have spent that year and two wrestling with fear, and then go through this time struggling with fear, although God is greater than our fears. And so we see that He uses an illustration of a path. And God has a path for all of us. In His path, they are twists and turns on this path. We can't see what's down the road in this path. That's why the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can have a flashlight tonight, and you can shine it, and depending on the type of light it is, it'll only shine so far. But what you do is you shine that light as far as it goes, and you walk in that light. And then you get to that ending point, and then you shine the light as far as it goes from that point, and you go a little farther. And then you get to that point where that flashlight couldn't shine anymore, and then you shine the light even further. And before you know it, that light was a light unto your path. It was a light to your feet, and it was a light unto your pathway. And Jesus tonight, He guides us. He leads us one step at a time. But let me say this. The details along each step on the path that you're on, they all matter. All of the details matter, because all of the details that God has, one step at a time, they are making and creating and adding to the bigger picture He has in our life. I can remember as a little boy going to Florida with my grandparents, and I would want to go to sleep the whole ride there. And many times I did. I'd go to sleep, and I'd miss the whole trip. The good thing is, I woke up and we were there. But tonight, reflecting back on those times, I missed so much. In fact, there were times where they talked, and my grandparents had said, oh yeah, we enjoyed looking at that rest stop. We enjoyed that food when we got off the exit halfway to Florida. But you know, I was sleeping. I missed it all. And tonight, Jesus, He has important details every step of the way. And it creates to the bigger picture in our life. Let me give you some Bible examples. Noah and the ark, back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 through 22. What did God say to Noah? He wanted him to build an ark. And if you go back and you read those verses, you'll see that one of the first steps was, Noah, build thee an ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood. That was the first step. In fact, let's turn there for a moment. Genesis chapter number 6. And verse number 14. That's exactly what he tells him. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. That was the first step. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Let me pause here and ask you a question. Suppose Noah went, he went for gopher wood. He got the gopher wood, and suppose he built the ark. He had pieced the ark together, but he did not apply the pitch. And most people believe that the pitch was a sealant of some kind of like tar substance, and it would seal. It sealed those cracks where the wood would go together, so the water wouldn't get in. It kept the world out and kept everything in. Kind of gives us the picture of salvation, doesn't it? Of what God can do. Suppose that Noah got busy on the gopher wood but missed the second step. What would happen is Noah would be in that ark when it was raining. And that ark would begin to fill up with water and could have possibly sank because he missed the next step. I want to say tonight that there are many lives tonight, even in the Christian realm, that are shuddering with fear. Their boat is being filled with the fears of this world and what's taking place in this life. And many times it's because they have missed a step. They weren't paying the close attention to all the details and everything that God is doing around them and wanting to do in their life. The details matter with the Lord tonight. It's step by step on the pathway that he has for us. Again, Psalm 119, 105 talks about the feet. It talks about the pathway, one step at a time. So I see that Noah, he listened, and he got the whole list of articles, and everything was accomplished. What about Joshua at Jericho? What about that? In Joshua chapter number 6, in verse 3 and 4, we know that Joshua was the new leader and just crossed the Jordan River. And all of the enemies were afraid of them. The Bible says none went out of Jericho, none went in. It was barred and it was bolted shut. They were all in fear because of what happened at the Jordan River. But God gave Joshua some instructions. And the instructions were to march six times around Jericho. And on the seventh time, go seven more times. And then at that particular time, at the last time, they were to blow trumpets and horns and shout really loud. The word shout there in Joshua chapter 6, I believe it's verse number 4 or 5, that word shout means to split the ears. And he's talking about rearing back and giving the biggest shout you have, enough to split the ears. I think about my dog when the loud noise happens, his ears go straight back. It's a splitting of the ears. But think about it. Joshua received these instructions. They went one time around. They went two times around. They went all the way and completed that sixth, but What if they would have missed the seventh time around, which was seven more times? The walls wouldn't have came down. In fact, if someone forgot to blow the trumpet, if someone that morning forgot to bring their horn to Jericho, I believe those walls wouldn't have came down. In fact, if someone didn't have the bravery to rear back and give a shout, whoo, to split the ears, if that shout would have been lacking, those walls wouldn't have came down. Everybody was in their place. Everybody was following instructions. Every step of the way, they went six times, one time per day. On the seventh day, they went seven times. They blew the trumpets, they sounded the horns, and they shouted, and the walls came down. What I want to say tonight, His ways are not our ways, because His ways involve pathways. Every step of the way, details matter. He's wanting to show us something in this pandemic. He's wanting to show us something with these politics. He's wanting to show us something about our own spiritual lives. He's wanting to show us something about not being in church. And He's wanting to show us something. And thank God, through Facebook Live tonight, I wouldn't have anybody to preach to. He's wanting to show us something. But it's one step at a time. Don't miss the details, church. What about Elisha and Naaman? Remember those two? Remember that account of Elisha and Naaman? 2 Kings 5:14. Naaman had leprosy, and he was told by Elisha to go down to the river Jordan and dip himself seven times. What would have happened tonight if he went the first time and nothing happened? He went a second time and nothing happened. A third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. What would have happened if Naaman gave up on that sixth time? I'll tell you what would have happened on that sixth time if Naaman gave up. Naaman wouldn't have got healed of his leprosy. Someone tonight that's watching, you have been going after it and going after it. You have been trying to live for the Lord. There's some things that's standing in your way. It may be some fortified things you're trying to break down, like Jericho. I don't know what it may be. It may be all kinds of things. And you may feel like, what's the use of opening my Bible one more time? What's the use of watching Facebook Live one more time? What's the use of even trying one more time to do what's right? Nothing's changing. This world is going to pot. I'll tell you why it matters. Because that next time you do so may be the next time that God blesses you the way that you need to be blessed. We see it in Naaman. But then lastly, what about this? Jesus and the disciples in John 6. You remember that's when He fed the multitude with the fish and the loaves? And the Bible says in verse number 12 that Jesus speaking, and He told the disciples to gather up the fragments that none be lost. Why was that? All they saw at that time was this word from God that told them to go and get the crumbs. Why? Why in the world would the Lord say, go and gather up the crumbs? Because He had a purpose for those crumbs. He had a plan for those fragments. If you read in harmony the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark, you'll find out that in Mark chapter number 6, they were in a storm. They were in a storm of their life, and they were fearful and fretful. And in verse number 52, He makes this statement. He says that they considered not the loaves. Look, when they were in that storm,
They had those fragments. They had those crumbs where, being in the storm, they could reach down and say, oh yeah, I don't have nothing to fear. The Lord just miraculously fed 5,000 plus, and now I have these baskets of crumbs and fragments to reflect upon. Listen tonight, Jesus works in steps. Every step of the way. Those disciples didn't know how that those fragments was going to be a blessing to them later. They could have reflected back on that miracle and all their fears would have been calmed. But yet, they did not. And tonight, the Lord has worked in your life. He's worked in my life. We have baskets over baskets over baskets that are full of miracles that the Lord has wrought in our lives. And during our time of turbulence, all we have to do is consider those miracles that Jesus has done, and our fears will be calmed. God is in the details. One step at a time on our pathway, paying attention to our detail, His details along the way. All of these things add up to a bigger picture. Let me mention one more thing and we'll bring it to a close in a few minutes. And His ways, God's ways are not our ways, because His ways are highways. He's up to something. God's ways are not our ways because His ways involve pathways. Has to do with the details, step by step. But then lastly tonight, God's ways are not our ways because His ways are ways that are perfect. His ways are ways that are perfect. This has to do with producing or a product. Psalm 138, verse number 8 says this, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Church, tonight, that verse has been a lifesaver for me in my Christian life. I can't tell you how many times. To know that the Lord will perfect. That word perfect means complete. The Lord will complete that which I'm concerned with. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. The word concerneth means to worry. It means a matter of interest. Whatever it is tonight that I'm concerned about, that you're concerned about, the Lord will complete. He will perfect that which concerneth me. Anything that is even beyond the things that concern me, whatever concerns me, whatever's about me, the Lord will complete that because I'm His and you're His. And so His ways are ways that are perfect and complete. That's why God's ways are not like our ways, you know, because the Lord, He's at work. He's perfecting us. He is completing us. He's maturing us. Notice something in Psalm 18, if you would. Psalm 18 for a moment. Psalm 18, verse number 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. His way is perfect. Not only perfect, meaning He's perfect, but His way is perfect. How He operates is, He operates to something is completed or finished out thoroughly. The word here, perfect, also means complete. And so David, writing this psalm here, says that, as for God, His way is perfect, complete, sound, entire. The word of the Lord is tried, tested, as silver and gold in fire. His word is tried. He is a buckler, or a shield, or a forearm piece of shield that's attached to the forearm to all those that trust Him. Verse number 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And so David literally says, God's perfect ways makes my ways perfect. He's at work in my life. David says it may seem as though God's ways are dark ways. David says it may seem as though His ways are hard to understand. But verse 32, David says, because His ways are perfect ways, and because the words of the Lord are tried, tested, and proven, my ways are perfect. My ways are complete. He's at work in my life. Notice verse number 29. David says, He has taught me bravery and endurance, for by Thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. You see, the Lord and His Word was being tried. David was leaning upon God, and God completed something in David. David's faith was tried, and he learned how to be brave. He learned how to endure. He said, I ran through a troop. I leaped over a wall. God completed David. God made David's way perfect. Because God is perfect and God's way is complete, it completed David's way. It was dark, it was dingy, but David learned how to run through a troop and leap a wall. Verse 33, He maketh my feet like hind's feet, or the gazelle, and setteth me up on mine high places. David learned some new abilities. Figuratively, that is. Figuratively. He learned some things about himself that he can get over some stuff. Verse 34, He teacheth my hands. Another one of my favorite verses. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. David said that God has skilled him for battle. And so that's why David said that, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. Verse number 32, the Bible says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Tonight I want to say that God's way is not like our way, because His ways are ways that are perfect. I wouldn't choose the dark days. I wouldn't choose those days of pain and those days of doubt and those days of dread. I wouldn't choose the fires of life. I wouldn't choose none of those things. But His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. God tonight is in the business of completing His children. He's teaching us bravery and endurance. He's teaching us abilities. He is trying to make so that our hands are fitted for battle, that we learn a few things spiritually, that when the devil comes, we know how to stand on God's Word. We know how to repel off of us doubt and fear, because we trust in this blessed book tonight. The promises of God, His Word is sure and His Word is steadfast tonight. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, we will trust in Jesus tonight. And He is in the business of completing us and our faith. And so tonight we see that God's ways are not like our ways, because His ways are perfect ways. God's ways are not like our ways, because His ways involve pathways. They're detailed oriented. God's ways are not like our ways, because His ways are highways. My prayer tonight is simply this: Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And tonight I pray that you pray the same thing. Let us just trust Him tonight. Let us tonight know that God is up to something as individuals. His Word will not return void. That Word that's within us, that Word that comes to our ears, the hearing of God's Word, He's always up to something, church. You know that. And so tonight, let's pray for one another. And let's just remember one another in prayer and all the prayer requests and everything that we mentioned before. Church, let's remember our land. And the good Lord willing, we'll be back again live on Facebook this coming up Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We love you, and we hope that you have a wonderful night and a great rest of the week, and we'll conclude in a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you do in our life. We don't always understand, but we're reminded that your ways are not like our ways. Your thoughts, not like our thoughts. Lord, help us to accept the path that we're on. Pay attention to the details, Father, and to know that you're completing a work that you started in us. We love you tonight, and we pray specifically for our land that you would touch it. Lord, that you would have the hearts of those in office in your hand and turn it whithersoever you will for your honor and your glory. We love you tonight, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everyone have a blessed night. God bless.